case, Pope John Paul II shares the same views. Oh, by the way, he was questioned in this article as to whether or not his novel is, if there's historical fact to it, and he just changed the names. And he basically admits that in this article. And the article is from the New American Magazine, June 9th, 1997. But basically, he and the Pope say that the next Pope, and Malachi Martin died recently, but they're not sure if the next Pope is going, if this Pope is going to be removed due to, you know, the cardinals saying, well, you just don't. See, when they got this guy, Pope John Paul II, they thought he was pro-communist. So they thought, well, he's pro-communist, we'll have our way with him. He's practically one of us. Because he went in Poland and never said a bad word about the communists and all. Problem is, when the Pope, John Paul II, when all the cardinals are lining up and they kneel down before him and they kiss his ring, his supervisor from Poland, who now was a cardinal, at the time was a bishop and he worked for him, he was a real anti-communist. But he would get arrested like twice a year and spend 3 months in jail at a time. So he told young Pope John Paul I, when he was just a priest, he told him, look, somebody's got to shepherd the flock. So while I'm in prison, continue my anti-communist work, but don't be real vocal and public about it, because one of us has to be free to shepherd the flock. So they played good guy, bad guy type roles. But the Pope, turns out Pope John Paul II is totally opposed to communism. He even self-published several books to lead the underground in how to fight communism and stuff. But they didn't know that until this cardinal that used to be his supervisor knelt down before him to kiss his ring, and the Pope, who was a lot younger back then, grabbed the old guy under the armpits and lifted him up. And then all of a sudden, according to Malachi Martin, all these Vatican higher-ups are looking and thinking, oh, no, this is worse than Pope John Paul I. This guy's not some communist pushover. Because he basically was saying, I respect you too much to have you kneel down and kiss my ring. As far as I'm concerned, you're still my mentor. And he starts lifting up the most anti-communist cardinal in the whole College of Cardinals, and all of a sudden it dawns on these guys, Pope John Paul II isn't going to play ball with us. Now Malachi Martin's problem with John Paul II is that he says, you as the Pope have the authority to kick these guys out and to tell the American church to start getting back in line or they're gone. And Pope John Paul II, it's like one is saying, you stand up for what we Catholics are supposed to stand up, kick these guys out. Pope John Paul II is saying, no, unity is too important. I need to try to persuade them and keep the church united. And so they both want the same goal, but they're going through different strategies. But whatever the case, they both refer to the next pope, whoever the College of Cardinals elects, they refer to the next pope as anti-pope, which is about as close to Antichrist as we come now. To me, it seems like and by the way, the guy who's interviewing him is an Irish Catholic, a serious Irish Catholic, and it's really something, too, because it sounds like the Protestant Reformation. He says, the Pope is surrounded by men in clerical garb who do not possess the Catholic faith. They are working with foundations, non-governmental organizations, international groups, financial institutions, governments, academia, and other agencies to bring a new world order into existence. But he ends up going on to say, he says, it doesn't mean the end of the church. It means the end of the church's structure as we know it. Sounds a lot like what Martin Luther was saying, I'm not opposed to the church, but I think the organized church, the structure, is going in the wrong direction. I want the church to get back to the Bible. And there are some traditional Catholics who might not stand for this type of thing. But basically, I think an anti-pope would be closer to a false prophet type figure than the Antichrist himself. And a UN Secretary General could quite possibly be a Antichrist type figure. There's also Gorbachev wants a council of enlightened guys, intellectuals, to talk over the world's problems. You got the Club of Rome divided the world into 10 different regions back in 1958. So it could be the 10 toes of Book of Daniel, the 10 horns of Daniel and Revelation, 10 kings of 10 kingdoms, but then there could be a council of seven that oversee them, and one of those seven becomes the Antichrist, receives the mortal head wound and survives. But whatever the case, the reason why the globalists are not interested in Protestant churches as much as they are in the Roman Catholic Church, Roman Catholic Church has the worldwide structure that they would like to use, to utilize, if able to bring a one world religion into the picture. So the way it stands right now, Roman Catholic Church, just, you know, if you're teaching the doctrine of the Trinity and that Jesus is God the Son and the Savior of mankind, despite the differences that Protestants and Catholics have, and I left Roman Catholicism, so I consider some of those differences pretty important. But you're not going to be compatible with the New World Order with those beliefs intact. So either Roman Catholicism isn't going to be part of it, or if it's going to be part of it, there's got to be some drastic changes. And Malachi Martin and the Pope think that the next Pope is the guy who's going to do that. So. Okay, anybody have any questions? Now keep in mind, the story ends, it has a happy ending. Jesus comes back and rescues his people and defeats those who are opposed to him and then reigns on the earth and ushers in the signs to look for. Let me just, I said the establishment of one world government, rebuilt temple with Old Testament sacrifices reinstituted, 7-year peace treaty involving many nations. Number 4, the rise of a one-world false religion. We talked about that. Number 5, the rise of a charismatic world leader, you know, a guy with a lot of charisma. And number 6, increase in persecution of Christians. Presently, 160,000 Christians are martyred for their faith around the globe, mostly in Islamic countries and communist countries. But when we see that more and more on a worldwide scale, that would be another indication that the end is near. So, Matthew 24, a good close reading of that will give you a lot of indication. But keep in mind, the Lord Jesus returns and rescues his people and brings the kingdom of God to earth. So the Bible does have a happy ending. Don't want to sound pessimistic here at all, so hopefully this kind of study will not cause you to be paranoid, but will just cause you to cling closer to the Lord Jesus. So.
Those of us who fall into the First Thessalonians category of taking away the clouds don't really find pessimistic.
Even you talk about like pre-tribbers or the pre-rapture. But even pre-tribbers that I've talked to openly acknowledge that things are going to get bad before that point. And they, like Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye, are the first to admit that if their views are correct, Christians like themselves are going to be getting persecuted even before the rapture. And so, you know, nobody in premillennial camp, nobody who literally believes in the second coming of Christ where he reigns on the earth for 1,000 years, nobody in that camp is saying it's going to get easy for, you know, believers and stuff like that. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm wrong and Christians are snatched away before the tribulation, I'm going to be screaming hallelujah at the top of my lungs, and because my doctor did advise me that try to avoid pain as much as possible. So I'm not some guy who wants to looking forward to the tribulation period and that type of thing. I'd like to avoid tribulation as much as possible, but